Good morning, everyone. It's time for our Severe Weather Awareness Show on this, the third day of April, 2025. Severe Weather Awareness Week in Minnesota is actually next week, the 7th through the 11th. But due to the intelligence of our City Emergency Management Director, Dusty Deans, he said, you know, Gordy, we should probably do it the week before, because we've always done it the week of, or traditionally have. I thought, well, that makes perfect sense. And then people know what's happening the week of if we do it in advance. So that's why we're doing this today. There's going to be special weather topics each day next week during Severe Weather Awareness Week, as outlined by the emergency management folks through the state. During Severe Weather Awareness Week, Monday, we'll talk about alerts and warnings. Tuesday, severe weather, lightning and hail. Wednesday, floods. That's what we see most of around here. Tornadoes and statewide drills will take place on Thursday. And then one that really doesn't get a lot of publicity, I don't think, is the extreme heat. And, of course, Dusty and I touched on this last time he was on the show, wildfires. And since we last visited, Chief Dusty Deanst is with us. John Rowan, the assistant emergency management person for the county, and Joe Johnson, our new emergency, relatively new emergency management director. First time I've seen him in person. Good to have you, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, fantastic. He was a great help last year during the flooding, Dusty. He was getting me all kinds of road closure information, and he got thrown in the fire right away.
He did. He's doing a wonderful job. We're right behind him, pushing him pretty hard, because there's things that both John and I have wanted to see, and we kind of are taking advantage of the new guy a little bit and saying, hey, we think we should do this. And he's very energetic, and a lot of good things are happening.
Well, and then Joe was saying before he hit the airwaves, you're the chief of the fire department in Nearstrand.
Yep. I've been in Nearstrand, I believe, 6 years. I've been a firefighter for about 20 years, and I've been a paramedic for 20 years.
Does that help in this position, you think?
Oh, yes. Yep, because I got to sit in on the interviews for this young man, and we had a lot of qualified candidates, but being local was big, because we know in emergency management, contacts are everything. The old saying is you don't want to be exchanging business cards on the bridge or while you're overlooking the water flooding. So his ties to local, and then his background with emergency response. There's different emergency managers across the state have different theories on response, and we're a little more hands-on around. So Joe's hands-on in the emergency response, even though as an emergency manager, you're not supposed to get right in there. It's okay, I think, if you do sometimes, that proves to those around you that you're willing to do what you're expecting them to do. And I've always been under the theory that I'd rather have somebody that I'm working alongside that I have to pull on the leash as opposed to push to get something done. So that's Joe.
John, you have been an assistant under how many different emergency management directors for the county?
He would be our third. So I've worked under Rabinack, Jennifer Hauer, and then him. And then I was also interim director for a couple of years.
Oh, I had forgotten that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all good. So it's interesting seeing the program. I've also worked under, I believe, four county sheriffs, Schweistall, Cook, Dunn, and then Jesse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been an interesting ride.
Has it all been fairly consistent?
Yeah, for the most part. Some give you a little more freedom than others, and they have different priorities just like anybody else. But
well, then in terms of experience, you might be the most experienced person on this panel involved in emergency management.
No, I would say that would go to Dusty. He's been on the fire department, I think, 2 or 3 years longer than I was involved in emergency management. So,
oh, okay. But
we all go to the same classes, try to attend the same meetings, and work with each other. We've got a great team here in Rice County.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, Dusty, Joe, John. In the early days, when I first got into radio, 1979, I'm working in DeSoto, Missouri. Well, no, it's 1980. 1980, I'm working in DeSoto, Missouri, my first radio job. Station's on a hill. It's the middle of the afternoon. I had a 3 in the afternoon till sign-off shift. So in the summer, I'd be on from 3 until 11 at night. Skies turn as black as night in the middle of the afternoon, and I go on the air. We had the old bang teletypes. No warnings or nothing come out. I kept checking the wire. There's nothing. I went on the air and I said, I don't have any watches or warnings issued, but I think I would be going for cover because it is as black as night up here on the hill. I got chewed out by my boss for going on the air, and we had a tornado hit the town. We didn't get a warning till 20 minutes after the tornado was done.
Did you tell him I told you so?
No, I just
could have.
I was a young guy. I was just out of radio school. I was, you know.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point. Back in 2006, it was clear skies. It was the same day we had the hail in the morning, the one that decimated Northfield. And
yeah, it got nailed, yep.
But in the evening, which people forget, it was clear skies around here, but in Nicollet County, they had a rapidly forming tornado. And so their weather team sent up a message to the National Weather Service that, hey, we got a tornado on the ground, and they're looking at radar, which is 5 minutes behind reality. There wasn't a cloud showing on the radar. They're like, say that again? You got one on the ground? Yep. And they went right into a warning. That came all the way up to the Rice County line.
Wow. Isn't that something? Technology's improved a lot, though. That's what I was getting at with the old teletype and getting the warning 20 minutes after the tornado hits town. I thought I actually did a good thing.
You did.
I think you did, yep. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't say, I said, I emphasized, I don't have a watch or a warning from the National Weather Service yet, but what I'm seeing, I'd go for shelter.
Well, and that brings up why the importance of Skywarn, and we had a class here a week ago, why we don't want to rely totally on electronic and technology. The good old eyeball, the trained eyeball is better, if you will, and some, and of course, the best plan is the two together, the technology saying, here's what I see, and someone on the ground, here's what I see, and when they go together, then we can be pretty confident in our messaging.
And it's Severe Weather Awareness Week. It's not Tornado Awareness Week. I think a lot of people get that confused. Severe weather, large hail, high winds can do more damage than a tornado, right?
Yeah, and we saw that a couple days ago in Michigan. They had a severe thunderstorm warning with 96 mile an hour measured, which is Category 2 hurricane winds. And, yeah, that can do a lot of damage.
Absolutely. Straight line winds can sometimes do more damage.
Yeah, well, right. I think it was the year that we had the tornadoes here down in Iowa. They had the derecho that came through, and I don't know if there was any tornadoes with that storm, but the high wind was blowing over grain bins and a large amount of damage that occurred. So yeah, winds are just bad, it's not worse.
That was August of 2020. Yeah, it went from Nebraska all the way to Chicago between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. our time.
And for lack of a better word, it's not as sexy, the heat that we're going to talk about on Friday of next week. But it's something I think that gets underpublicized. Wouldn't you agree with that, Dusty?
Yeah, and it hit the population that it hits is everybody. So, yeah, if you have a indoor job and you have air conditioning everywhere, but there's some of us that have air conditioning at home, and that's fine. But when we go to work, we're out working on a road, and we can't get out of it. Or the opposite, where we have air conditioning at work and go home. So it affects everybody somehow, and that's back to your point, a tornado, yeah, they make movies, they're very interesting, they're very damaging, but really, unless you have a really, really big one, they're kind of more of an isolated type of an event compared to flooding or derecho or heat. So, yeah, we talk about tornadoes a lot, but the other, well, floods don't get a lot of talk, and they kill a lot of people.
Yeah, when we have more of that around here than tornadoes. To be honest, he's knocking on real wood, by the way.
Yes, that's right.
It's just real wood. We're going to take our break courtesy of our KDHL AgriBoosters, get an opening market report. By the way, our show today and all of next week helping us talk about severe weather awareness are Ackerman Accounting and Tax Services out of Owatonna and the Keller Insurance Agency in Nearstrand. We appreciate their sponsorship. If you do likewise, please thank them for our special severe weather awareness show today on the Mighty 920.
Soybeans, corn, cattle, and hogs are all lower. Hello, I'm Megan Grebner with your commodity market update on Brownfield. Speed wins. That's why Stein is focused on delivering higher-yielding genetics faster than the competition and why they've released more new Enlist D3 lines than any other company. Stein has yield. Soybeans are lower on found in technical selling. The market's reacting to the president's tariff announcement on Wednesday. Soybean oil is also sharply lower. May beans down 17 and a quarter at 10.12 and a quarter. July beans down 17 and three quarters at 10.27 and a quarter. Corn is lower on found in technical selling. While products included in the USMCA appear to be protected, that's not the case with China. The trade is keeping a close eye on pre-planting weather in the U.S. and South American crop development weather. May corn down 1 3/4 at 4.56. July corn down 1 3/4 at 4.63 and a half. The wheat complex is mixed on spread trade. The trade continues to monitor weather in the U.S. There's been some storms from Texas through the Ohio Valley, but the forecast for the Southern Plains remains hot and dry. The U.S. dollar is lower, which could be supportive to wheat exports. May wheat in Chicago down 3.5 at 5.35 3/4. July wheat down 3 at 5.49 3/4. May wheat in Kansas City up 1/4 at 5.68 3/4. And in Minneapolis, May wheat's up 1/2 at 5.93. Live and feeder cattle are sharply lower, waiting on direct business. The trade is also watching for any potential disruptions due to the tariff announcement. June lives down 2.62 at 204.77. August lives down 2.55 at 201.37. May feeder is down 3.20 at 284.72. Lean hog futures are lower following the tariff announcement. There are concerns about long-term demand certainty. Butcher hog prices at the Midwest cash markets are a dollar higher at $58. May lean hogs are down 57 at 88.55. June lean hogs down 90 at 95.62. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.
Meet Ed, movie buff, animal lover, safe driver.
5 years of driving an ambulance teaches you a thing or two. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. When I see a car trying to rush past a turning bus, I get concerned. You see, when big vehicles turn right, they have to swing wide to make the turn. And that's a lesson you don't want to learn the hard way. When trucks and buses turn, let's you and I wait.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. You
try. AM Minnesota on the Mighty 920 KDHL.
AM Minnesota Severe Weather Awareness Week. Let's dive right into the Severe Weather Awareness. Let's start with, I'm going to go backwards this year because we always end up with Friday last and we don't get enough time to talk about extreme heat and wildfires. I know, Dusty, we touched on wildfires, ironically, a couple of Mondays ago. I say ironically because just last Friday we had a grass fire that ended up with buildings. Well, one was destroyed.
We did. We had, it was a burn barrel, so I won't get on my pedestal on that, but you know how I feel about those. But here it was, as a burn barrel, unattended, which typically they are, that as the wind kicked up, blew the ashes out. Now, nobody's there to witness it, but you know, there's only so many ways these things can happen. And there is some physical evidence that on site that would prove the story. The owner wasn't holding that back. Yep, I had a fire there. It wasn't an active farm site, which is a little better because the buildings they're still used, so still could have been a loss, but you know, no animals. There are some limitations when you have that much stuff going on. When you have there's some priorities that have to be set. So, and that's what we did. So the spreading grass fire to the neighbors, and the barn fire. So, and we build from there. But it goes to show that, and that wasn't out. I mean, it was on Cedar Lake Boulevard, so it was in the rural, but it wasn't a remote area.
There's homes nearby.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff going on there. But it spread so fast because it was warm that day. And this time of the year, granted, you wouldn't believe that right now, but it ebbs and flows in the spring for dry and wet. It'll dry pretty fast. Now, I don't mind snow, and I'm a little bit happy about the snow that we just received, the last two snows, because it was wet and heavy. And what that will do for the grass fires around here, it flattened out a lot of grass. And we know that grass will still burn when it's laying flat on the ground, but when it's in the vertical position, it burns quicker and spreads faster. So having that grass all, not all, but mostly matted down, when we do have our grass fires, when it dries out here, they're a little easier to contain and to deal with.
You want to add anything to that, Joe?
I think you hit it pretty well. Just try to, if you're going to have an outdoor fire, make sure you get your burn permit. Keep it under control. But if it gets out of control, call us right away. So that way we can get there. The longer you delay, the bigger the fire is going to be, and it could damage more property.
Well, the homeowner, and if I remember, I did not call on this. It was a neighbor.
Correct.
Was the homeowner at home?
He was at home, was not.
Just didn't see it.
Yeah, I just didn't see it. Even though the large fire, the way the house laid out and where that all right. was, you wouldn't see it from inside the house.
Yeah, I can believe that, having gone out there. Took a few pictures, put them up on the website. So extreme heat, John, you got any thoughts on extreme heat?
No, I mean, if you know somebody who's elderly who may not have access to air conditioning, you definitely want to keep in touch with them, offer to bring them someplace cool.
Us older people don't sweat as much as you younger people.
Right. And I know that many times in the summer, Rice County Public Health will give out some guidance on where you can go. Typically, the mall is open, I think, until 8 p.m., so you can go in there and strut around. And other facilities around town that have air conditioning, like the library or the senior center. So there's options for you.
Joe, you got any thoughts on extreme heat?
Yeah, so piggybacking on John there, we do have a list on the county website. I believe it's under emergency management page. It could be under public health as well, of heating and cooling centers in Rice County. So we contacted multiple facilities, the library here, the library in Northfield, to make sure it was okay with them if people could come in during these events. And the whole list is on there. We just ask that you maybe check with the business before you go in, just for their hours and if they're going to be open or not during that event. Because sometimes these extreme cold events right after a snowstorm, they might be closed due to the weather. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff for that. I think the biggest thing with the heat event is making sure that you're drinking fluids. That's a huge problem. Knowing what the signs and symptoms are of heat problems, there's usually three different types of medical issues that arise during that. There's heat cramps, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke. So heat cramps, usually get muscular pains, spasms. Best thing you can do is move to a cool place, drink some fluids. Heat exhaustion is the next step in that. Might start feeling dizzy, weakness, symptoms like that. Same type of treatment for that. And then heat stroke is when somebody's unconscious. That's a medical emergency. You need to call 911 and have paramedics come and assist you with that.
Anything else?
Well, those are your signs. So if you listen to your body and know and are educated, you should not get to that heat stroke if you are paying attention.
Yeah, and remember, if you have to, you can take a cooler shower. You know, if that's your only option, you know, running some cooler water over your head and your body will certainly get that core temperature down. It does work.
Some facts here. That's always good to throw some out because, again, we don't get to these a lot. But between 2000 and 2016, 54 deaths were attributed to extreme heat in Minnesota. And on July 19th, John's a date guy, so let's see if he remembers it. July 19th, 2011 was the all-time heat index recorded in Minnesota.
Rice County Fair, right?
No.
July 19th, yeah, that might have been during the fair.
But it was what Moorhead, year? Minnesota.
Oh, what year, though?
2011.
Yeah, and it was hot at the Rice County Fair that week. Yeah, it was miserable. And we did have a lot of medicals for heat exhaustion.
I don't think we've had a Rice County Fair that hasn't had a heat warning.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And Joe brings up a good point. There are, you know, again, back to that, tornadoes are sexy and they get all the attention. But they, being the National Weather Service, do put out extreme heat advisories, excessive heat outlooks, watches. So, again, these are things that are predictable. They're a little more predictable than like a spur-of-the-moment tornado or a hailstorm that just happens without warning. they can see these things coming. So you should be able to take steps to protect yourself.
Also see from emergency management. And sadly, we have a news story every year of someone leaving a child or a pet in a hot vehicle and, you know, somebody losing their life. So please never leave children, disabled adults, or pets in parked vehicles. That's a no-no.
It's crazy. Some of the new vehicles have a warning, check your back seat before you get out of it. And that's why right there.
Yep. My light came on just the other day.
You had something sitting on your back seat, so I thought it was another person. Yeah.
You know, so that's exactly what happens. We got a few minutes left before we hit the ABC News. Let's skip down to alerts and warnings, because like Dusty said, the sexy tornadoes we can put last this year. Alerts and warnings. Every year, John knows this, every single year I get asked, what's the difference between a watch and a warning? And it seems kind of simple to me, but I've been in it for so many years.
So a watch means conditions are favorable for the type of activity to occur, and a warning means it's imminent. It's happening now. Take shelter, do your emergency response plan, whatever's appropriate for you.
I know it's radio, so we can't have a visual, but we have a good slide from the National Weather Service, and we put it up at our Skywarn training the other night that lays it out in a way that people can relate. So the first slide predicts it's a watch, and what is on that slide is taco meat, a taco shell, some lettuce, a whole bunch of ingredients
making you hungry.
Yeah, laid out on a table. And that represents a watch. There's no taco yet, or there's no tornado, or no severe weather yet. But the ingredients are coming together, and they're right there. And then the next slide that we show is the taco in a shell, and that represents a warning, because all that has all come together, and now we have a taco, or now we have severe weather. So it got a few chuckles out of the crowd, but it is a visual that you can, for those that don't understand the difference, it's just another way to help understand.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it, Joe?
Yep, absolutely. It's a good analogy.
I like that.
And now I'm hungry, too.
Yeah.
You made me hungry. We're going to have to all go out for tacos after this, John.
Kitty corner right there. They're right there. They're within sight.
And you never get cheated on your food over there.
No.
So, anyway, alerts and warnings. So, the technology, as I mentioned earlier, has changed a lot. I don't think you'll ever have, well, I shouldn't say ever, because there are tornadoes that could happen out of severe thunderstorms with little or no warning, right?
Right. So if our spotters detect something that the National Weather Service hasn't seen on radar yet, we can initiate our own outdoor warning siren activation. But until they generate the teletype message, the cell phone towers won't activate. And Dusty brought up a good point at training. The way cell phone sites work is they're cut into three parts. So you might be getting a warning for something that your neighbor may not be getting, because it's the total area of that cell sector which is going to determine if that warning gets pushed or not.
A couple of years ago, I think it was, maybe even longer than that now, because as you get older, the years go by faster, they went to these more targeted warnings being issued. Rather than for all of Rice County, they might say a certain quadrant in Rice County, because there were times when you'd have a warning issued for Rice County, and it's clear, blue, beautiful skies, and you're wondering, well, why is the siren going off?
Right. And those kind of things cast doubt into people's mind, and then they don't believe, you know, what they're hearing. And we get that a little bit with cell phones. Inevitably, after severe weather goes through, we'll get a phone call saying, hey, everybody else's phone went off, but mine didn't. And to John's point, we have to explain, well, you may not have been attached to that cell tower, your phone wasn't attached to that cell tower, so you weren't in the watch or warning area. Not wouldn't be a watch, it'd be a warning. So that's a little bit hard to visualize, but so it's good that we've pinned these things down to where they're actually needed, but there was some consequences of not, because some of us are used to getting the warning like everybody else and want it, but we're not giving it to those that don't need it.
Joe, when I first got in this business, as I said, in my Missouri days, they used to have a sheet of paper they had to read when a tornado warning was issued. One was to open, I can't remember what, southeast or
southwest, I think.
Yeah. You know, windows in the home before you go to your that's been eliminated. That's been thrown out the window, for lack of a better term, right?
Yep. So the biggest thing is just to take shelter. If the warning is going out, there is a threat. So take shelter immediately and get to the lowest level if you can. Otherwise, a interior hallway, something without windows to prevent damage.
And the siren going off doesn't necessarily mean it's a tornado, am I right?
Correct. It's a warning siren. It's not specific. It could be used for other civil defense reasons, if there's a hazmat leak, something like that. It's an outdoor warning siren. It's not for in your house. You need to have multiple ways to receive these alerts, be it we call them WEAs, the wireless emergency alerts that you get on your phone from, we can send them off, but usually for severe weather events, it's the National Weather Service. Check your local media, listening to the radio and stuff. I believe you guys, it has an interrupter. If they issue one, that it'll come across the air here. Local TV stations, stuff like that. I can't remember what the exact study was, but usually it takes people 3 times to hear a message before they take action.
I did not know.
Yeah, I think it's maybe even more.
Yeah.
3 to 7 is, your phone's going off and you're seeing it on the teletype, and it's just
you gotta look
for
outside
people to believe.
To see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, we're really progressive here in Rice County. We put in our quadrants, our sectors, for our outdoor warning sirens back in the late 70s. Whereas most counties until recently, if you had something going on in the northern part, all of their outdoor warning sirens would be activated. And Hennepin County is doing a trial program this summer where if you have a weather radio, they're going to even cut up the weather radio into quadrants in the county. So if there's something going on in Minnetonka and you're west of there or east of there, it won't alert.
Yeah. Well, we got just a couple minutes left before we have to hit ABC News, and then we'll come back and talk more about Severe Weather Awareness Week, which is next week. And there are 2 tornado drills on Thursday the 10th. And this county always has participated in both, if I remember right, Joe.
Yep, correct. We will be, our dispatch center, or John, will be setting off the sirens. I believe it's 1:45 on Thursday afternoon and 6:45 in the evening.
So what should I do when that happens? Practice my plan, I'm assuming?
Practice your plan. Everybody should have a plan in place for both their workplace and at home. Know where your safe locations are. I've been working with our county administration of what helping our departments practice. Where do we go during this? What's the best place? How are we going to get the alerts? We have a system within the county called Everbridge that we can send stuff out on. It's a great, it's on the fire department's website, the county's website. It's a great program to sign up for to get local emergency information, be it roads are closed for plowing or severe weather information. Practice your plan. Know where you're going to go. That's what we want to see.
That's the number one thing. You got to practice.
Know what you're going to do. We've talked to all of our employees at our safety training, and it's easy when they're in a building. We can tell them, here's where you go. That's easy. So some of our public works folks and others in the county would be in the same boat. When you're out doing your thing and you're not near a building, that now you're just teaching and empowering them. Here's some of your options. Yeah, you can get into a ditch, get the heck out of that vehicle first thing, because that will go tumbling and or worse.
So you do recommend getting into a ditch?
Yes, getting into the ditch. Get out of – at that point, you're really looking forward to protect yourself from – things flying through the air.
Even if there's a downpour of rain that's filling that ditch with water.
Yeah, you'd be pretty hard-pressed to fill a ditch in that short a period of time that it was going to be a drowning.
So don't let a little water hinder you going in there.
Yeah, and you don't have to be in the bottom of the ditch. Really what you want to do is picture a tree branch coming flying across the road or across the landscape, and if you're standing up, it's going to take you out. But if you're below where that tree branch is going, yeah, it may settle on you, but it's not going to wipe you out. So get down, get some kind of protection, even if it's just the bank of the road that is protecting all that stuff that's blowing at you.
All right, we're going to get ABC News. We'll come back and talk more because we got a couple more topics that we want to touch.
News, sports, talk, and more. You're listening to the Mighty 920 KDHL, Faribault. Also broadcasting at 97.9 FM, a Town Square media station.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A bad morning gets worse on Wall Street as the markets react to President Trump's sweeping new tariffs. ABC's Mike Dubusky with the latest.
The Dow has plummeted nearly 4%, and the NASDAQ is down almost 5%. The S&P, meanwhile, has lost more than $1.5 trillion in value so far in early trading. Companies with big manufacturing operations in China, like Nike and Apple, are being especially hard hit after the Trump administration leveled 34% tariffs on the country, on top of existing 20% tariffs.
ABC's Rebecca Jarvis says the main concern for both businesses and consumers is higher prices.
Everything from food to clothing. We get a lot of clothing here in the United States from places like China, Vietnam, Mexico. Shoes also coming in from those places. Toys. The other issue is pharmaceuticals. Our pharmaceuticals industry here, a lot of prescription drugs come from places like Ireland, Germany, as well.
Some analysts say worst case scenario, the tariffs could cost close to $1,800 for every American. At least five people were killed in a string of tornadoes, rain, and severe storms hitting portions of the South and the Midwest. ABC's Ginger Z is in Lake City, Arkansas.
In Missouri, an EF1 tornado, winds nearing 100 miles per hour, causing widespread destruction in the town of Nevada. Its path, 17 miles long. Homes and businesses shredded in Owosso, Oklahoma. A tornado ripped roofs from their homes, scattered debris everywhere.
Today, the main concern is rain and flash flooding. The death toll from last Friday's earthquake in Myanmar has now risen to nearly 3,100 people as more bodies were pulled from the rubble. Secretary of State Rubio in Brussels for meetings with NATO leaders. He says they'll have to pay more if they want to remain in the alliance. You're listening to ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 30% off paints and stains March 28th through April 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
As a fan, you know all the important sports cliches. And when you save money by bundling your home and auto with Progressive, you can get out there and give it 110%, even though that's mathematically impossible. And remember, failure is not an option. Well, it's always an option, just not a good one. But you're not worried, because you've got ice in your veins. You're on fire. How can both of those things be true at the same time? Well, that's between you and your doctor. So get out there and leave it all on the field. Leave what? Who cares? Just leave it and save with a bundle from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
A fresh wave of airstrikes overnight, killing 50 people in Gaza. The military action going a day after senior government officials said that Israel would seize large chunks of the territory and establish a new security corridor across the Gaza Strip. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, meantime, receiving a big welcome with full military honors in Hungary, despite a warrant out for Netanyahu's arrest from the International Criminal Court. Human rights groups say they are condemning the visit. Jeff Bezos wanted Whole Foods, and he got it. He wanted the Washington Post, and he got it. Now, seems he wants TikTok.
Sources telling ABC News, Amazon, the biggest e-commerce platform in the world, created by billionaire Jeff Bezos, is joining the bidding war, reportedly sending a letter to the Trump administration. Also making a bid, mobile tech company AppLovin, and a group including tech giant Oracle. Even if President Trump approves the deal, China still has to sign off.
ABC's Whit Johnson. Saturday's the deadline for TikTok to either sell or be banned. Ever wonder how much your kids are costing you? Turns out, quite a bit.
It turns out that the cost of raising one child now costs about $300,000 over 18 years. That's up 25% over the last 2 years. According to a new study from LendingTree, the increase is mostly due to more expensive child care, health insurance, and food.
Keep in mind, says ABC's Andrew Dimbert, that's also the cost just until 18 and doesn't include college. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Lowe's knows how to help pros save. That's why the new MyLowe's Pro Rewards program lets you unlock exclusive member deals on the things you need every day on the job. Plus, MyLowe's Pro Rewards members can get volume discounts on eligible orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Exclusions, more terms and restrictions apply. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Good morning, everyone. Our severe weather awareness show again. Folks at Keller Insurance Agency in Nearstrand, Craig helps protect all things that are near and dear to you. Ackerman Accounting and Tax Service of Owatonna helps us bring you the show as well as we continue talking about severe weather awareness. Severe Weather Awareness Week is next week, running April 7th through the 11th.
This weather forecast brought to you by Burkhart's Meyer Shoes.
Overcast today with a high of 43. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 30 tonight. Overcast skies. High of 48 tomorrow. Cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 44. Saturday under sunny skies. 48 Sunday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.